Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. We're glad you're here today as Pastor shares a specially designed message just for our partners titled, Releasing Your Cry of Faith. We trust that this message will be a blessing to you. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
I want to speak to you today about the subject of there is a cry of faith inside of every believer. We know that in Romans 10:8, it says that the word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. We know about the word of faith, but I want to talk to you today about this cry, this emotional outburst mixed with faith that is inside of every blood-bought, born-again believer. I mean, God really wants to capture the expression, the excitement that comes up and out of each and every person. That's why 3 John 2 says, as your soul prospers, so goes your money, and so goes your health. As thy soul prospers. This soul thing is, you know, we are a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. We are all three parts. We are triune beings. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live inside of a body. Three parts to each person. Animals are only body and soul. But we are that unique creation by God in His image, and God is spirit. So we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Now, it's interesting to me that so many places in life, people are so free to express themselves openly, outwardly, without shame. They can get so excited. I mean, when you look at people that win money, win lottery tickets, or just when people win bingo, they don't just say bingo, they say bingo, bingo. There's such excitement coming out of people that win $50, $15. They win some small trivial prize, and yet the excitement and the emotion that comes up out of people that got them so triggered into a place of emotional frenzy. And it's wonderful to see that because it demonstrates the life that's in that person. It demonstrates, I'm here, I'm alive, I'm not emotionally dead. I've been through some tough times and some rough areas, but I am alive on the inside. When I see people at the airport, when I'm getting off one of my flights, and people greeting people that haven't seen each other for a long time, right in the airport in front of God and everybody, people jumping, screaming, hugging, kissing, oh, it's so good to see you. Just raw emotion at its best. It's everywhere. It's in your theme parks. Sit on a bench and just listen, and you'll hear the noise of children and the sound of adults on rides, walking through the park, eating food, and their emotions being expressed and released, let alone think about the ball games and all of the cheering that goes on at the ball games. And this is wonderful because I said it's a demonstration of something coming up and out of you. Where's that coming from? It's coming up and out of your soul. It's an expression that God put in you, you know, a blend with your personality to demonstrate your feeling, your thought, you know, your desire. And it shows the life flow that's on the inside of you. That's why when people get a broken heart, a wounded spirit, they become sad and introverted, and their expression is hijacked by the enemy. And everything is inward. They're quiet. They're self-absorbed. And they no longer have any joy to fully express what they're thinking or feeling. They become isolated and shut themselves off, and then the devil moves in, begins to numb you, wound you, and pretty soon you are just, you know, a captive. God wants to hear you. He wants to hear the sound come up and out of you that is just unique to you. Your personality, your voice, your emotions. You know, He wants something behind what you're asking Him for. He wants to feel the push and the urgency of how you feel about what you say you want. Remember what Jesus said, love me with all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. See, God wants to be loved by every part of us, every single part of us, and He wants to hear that expression. That's why He created the cherubims. That's why He created the seraphims. That's why God creates angels. I mean, these are spiritual beings. He does not create them to be quiet. He does not create them in his presence to just, you know, carry his briefcase. God creates these unique spiritual beings, you know, on a regular basis to hear them express themselves, to hear them sing, worship, and talk, and exchange among themselves. God loves the sound of faith. Faith has a sound to it. It has an expression to it. And that's what God wants to hear coming from each one of us. But because we get wounded, because we get overwhelmed with a particular situation, because there's a montage of events that are taking place one after the other after the other, and pretty soon we're good listeners, we can even confess, you know. But today, technology, your car can talk to you. Your iPhone can talk to you. GPS talks to us all the time. You can train a bird to talk to you. That's what parrots do. And some of these other, you know, these tropical birds, they repeat what you say to them. But there's no emotion. There's no expression coming up and out of them that indicates life, spirit. It's not there. So God does not want, you know, you to be replaced by technology, by a talking computer, a talking bird. He doesn't want to just hear you say words, you know, and sing songs because you know the song. He's after that part of you that is unique to you, you know, that expression. Now, you can't just make this happen, but you can let it happen. And this is where emotional healing can take place, in this corridor, in this arena of expressing yourself, you know, in raw form. And you might want to begin to do this privately. You know, you might want to begin to, you know, just get out of that defeated attitude. Well, I was hurt. Well, you don't know what all happened to me. We all have those kind of stories. But I tell you, this verse in the book of Exodus speaks volumes, and that's chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried. They didn't talk, they didn't pray, they cried. And their cry came up before God, and by reason of their bondage, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. When God heard that cry, it moved him, you know, to begin to fulfill the covenant. It says, and God remembered the covenant that he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So, you know, this cry touched God's heart. I mean, God wants to hear something just like you as a parent or one of your friends. You know, whenever people are talking to you about their particular need or their concern or their desire, you know, you're listening to what they're saying, but you're also listening to the emotional, you know, commitment behind the words. You want to hear something that really indicates, I mean this. I'm sincere about this. This is real. Hey, I'm serious. And whenever you hear that, then your ears perk up. You take new meaning and new thought to what's being said. Why? Because we all waste a lot of words. We all waste a lot of things that we say. And we say so much in jest. We say so much in humor and fun. It's hard to tell when we mean something. But oh boy, whenever that emotion kicks in, I mean this, I'm serious, you know, it indicates your heart is in what you're saying. Your passion has showed up. And people take note, wow, she really means that. And that's whenever the Holy Spirit is attracted to what you're saying. He's not attracted to just words. He's not attracted to just you completing and saying the scripture. He's not attracted, you know, to just memorizing Bible verses and you throw back the verses that he wrote. God's interested in your soul. He's interested in your personal expression. You know, I mean, we don't, you know, we're not all about all emotion. We don't be led by our emotion. I'm not saying that. But there can be faith within your emotion. Whenever Jesus cursed the fig tree, he did it with emotion. He did it with faith, but there was emotion in that. Whenever he told the storm to be still, he did it with faith, but emotion was clearly in that. You can hear it. Whenever he told the man at Bethesda to rise, pick up his bed and walk, his words weren't, you know, his words weren't dumbed down. His emotions weren't absent. You can see as you read that story, rise, pick up your bed, and walk. His heart, his emotion was up and involved in that command for that person to change his environment. See, that emotion is the calling card to God that you are serious about the knowledge that you have. John the Baptist said, "There comes one after me," he was speaking of Jesus, "who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." That fire, he meant, was the passion. That passion is an emotional force that is subservient to your spirit. Your spirit is to be in charge. You know, we are spirit beings. We're born again of the Spirit. But we can't negate the fact that we have a soul, and that God wants your emotions to play a major role in expressing the uniqueness of your individuality. We're not clones. We're not robots. We're not all to be the same among each other. We're all to be conformed into His image with the unique package that He's designed for all of us. And I'm telling you, this is so amazing because there's so many people that are emotionally bound, you know, and they have a hard time even worshiping, a hard time conveying their thoughts and their feelings. And, you know, this does not indicate that Jesus is being allowed to heal you of past hurt, past pain, or whatever the blockage may be, just may be in your DNA. It could be something that comes down from the family line. My dad was like that, and his dad was like that, and his dad was like that. Well, that's great that that you identified the family tree, but that doesn't justify that that's the way God wants you to be. As your soul prospers, we got to get this soul loose. What did David say in the Psalms? My soul has been set free from the snare of the fowler. He said, my soul does magnify the Lord. He didn't say my mouth magnifies the Lord, or, you know, he used his mouth. All your mouth is an orifice. It's a hole in your face for which the soul expresses itself out of your mouth. You know, whenever you walk out the door of your house, all that door is an orifice in the frame of your house, and you walk in and out of that orifice or that hole. But that's not who you are. Who you are is how you live in the house. All your mouth is an orifice, a hole in your face out of which your soul expresses itself in thought, in song, in word. And so many times today we realize that pain has interrupted the plan. Pain has gotten in there and invaded the space of where the soul is not healed, it's not whole. And therefore, you know, so many people do not know how to cry out to God because they've been told that you don't do that. You know, we're not emotional. We're not led by our emotions. Again, I say, no, we're not, but we're not to be bound up either. Why would God say, be happy that you give all of your emotions at an airport, at a ball game, at a theme park, but when it comes to talking to Him or expressing to Him, you're bound up? What that's saying is that these other places ring your bell, but He doesn't. That's not the way we want to proceed here. That's not the way we want to go forward. Jesus said we're to love Him with all of our heart, all of our strength, and all of our soul. That means He wants to hear you express yourself to Him. He wants to hear something about your thankfulness, about your commitment, about your faithfulness. He wants to hear you express the urgency of your need, the desire of your dream, the drive of your passion to pursue the will of God that He has for you. Oh my, please get a hold of this. Please get a hold of this. Let me go back. The Psalms are filled with this. There's nobody that cried out to God more than David. But if you just study this thought the whole way through the Old and the New Testament, you'll find out that what got God's attention more than anything else is when people began to put a cry behind their belief, when they began to put a cry behind their desire, when they began to put a cry behind the sense of their urgency. It's so clear that, I mean, when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, he just didn't pray a prayer. It says that he cried. Now, every word in this scriptures that you read has meaning to it. That's why we break it down in the Hebrew, or we break it down into the Greek, because we want to know exactly what language, what were they saying, how were they expressing themselves. So Jonah's in the belly of this fish. He's being digested by all the gastric acids and juices, and he went in one end. He's getting ready to come out the other end, and he began to cry out, just as any of you would cry out in your emergency. And we've all heard this. We've all heard people crying for help, your own children. What's that cause you to do? When you hear that urgency, when you hear that feeling behind that, mom, dad, when you hear that, you know, when these operators, the 911 operators get a 911 call, they hear it. What do they hear? Emotion coming through that phone. Help, someone's broken into our house. Help, my mother's on the floor, she's not breathing. And there's emotion into that. That's what God wants coming up and out of you when you talk to Him. He's wanting to hear the heartbeat, the soul beat. And when Jonah was being swallowed, he's crying out with everything that he has within him. You know, and he's offering up the voice of thanksgiving. And the Bible says it moved God to speak to the fish. And then this fish spit him out. God didn't put Jonah in the fish. Jonah put himself in the fish. But even though Jonah made the mistake, rebelled, was running away from God, God in his mercy, you know, allowed this fish to, you know, he filtered it to swallow him. God filters everything coming into our lives. And then he waits to see how you respond. And sad to say, so many respond in anger. So many say, where was God? So many say, I can't believe God let this happen. And they go the other way. They go negative. They get angry. They quit. They listen to the bitter pull of resentment from other, you know, disconcerted people. You know, sometimes we talk ourselves into our own, you know, places of imprisonment. We make decisions that aren't healthy. But that doesn't mean that God cuts off your cry. It doesn't mean that God is so mad at you that he's not going to pick up the phone when you call him. He's rich in mercy. I mean, his mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3:23. You know, David said in Psalm 100, I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord will I sing, and with my mouth will I make known thy mercies forever and ever. Listen to me. This is something that is so vital in this day and age. In the day of massive communication, we're on the threshold of artificial intelligence, where computers will speak to you and dictate your daily schedule, not too far down the road, where cars are driving themselves. I mean, GPS right now, it's just a common thing that you do Google Maps, and it directs you to where you want to go, to the city, the town, the street, the house. It's amazing. And slowly but surely, this technology is replacing human expression. It's replacing jobs. It's replacing employees. Because it's a programming. But there's no emotion. Computers are completely emotionless. They don't have a soul. You know, they have data, stored information. And through the power of fiber optics and chips and all the technology, it's amazing. It's truly an amazing day. But nothing replaces the highest creation on planet Earth. And that's you, that's me, that's people. Every race, every creed, every tongue, every tribe, every color, every gender. God waits to hear a cry coming from you. And that's what happened with Jonah. And when God heard the cries of the children of Egypt, he sent a deliverer to bring them out. When he heard Jonah's cry, he spoke to the fish. You know, when Peter was out there on the water and he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink, obviously he couldn't swim or he was afraid of the storm, I'm not quite sure, but the Bible says he began to cry out, Jesus, save me, I perish. He wasn't monotone. He wasn't whispering. He wasn't just talking. The word cry is there. He cried out. You know, get the guard off your soul. You know, quit caring too much what people think of you. They're not in your dilemma. If you need to do it somewhere privately, then take a ride in your car. Take a jog down the trail. Go somewhere where you can cut loose and express yourself to the only one that has the power to help you. The only one that has the power to really understand the full scope of what you're going through, of the battle that you're facing. so many people, whenever they hear what they're unqualified. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to comfort or console. There's no solace in their words. You're looking for relief. You're looking for solace. You're looking for a shoulder like John had at the Last Supper when he put his shoulder on the bosom of Jesus the night before it all took place, yet John found perfect peace and rest. He's the only one that had that. Why? Because he's the only one that found a resting place on the Master. You need to find that. Where is that resting place? After you release yourself with this cry to God. I'm telling you, once something is up and out, there'll be a sense of He heard me. Why? That's what comes with this. God gives a guarantee, you know. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. God don't just let you cry and say, well, I didn't hear that. He hears the cry. And it's not how loud you yell. A cry can be a whisper. It's not how crazy you get. It's just how sincere you are. It's acknowledging He is your way, your truth, and your life. Everybody that you cry out to, everybody that you confide in, it's well-meaning. But so many of those people, family to friends, to church friends, often don't have the power to help you. Go to the one that has the power to bring immediate relief and eventually permanent removal. I love the story of Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verses 47 and 48. Bartimaeus was blind. He couldn't see. He was desperate. All he had was his mouth and his ears, and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. And he waited and he waited. He queued his time of release, and when Jesus was within range, the Bible says, and Bartimaeus cried out. He didn't take the posture, well, if he knows, if he is who he says he is, he'll see me here. I'm just going to wait till everybody else does their thing, but I'm going to be different. No, he said, this is one crack I have at Jesus being this close to helping me. He may pass me by. He may not hear me. I may be drowned out by the rest of the crowd, but I'm going to give it my best shot. And he cried out. And did he cry out? Thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's the only place that we know of in the scripture where Jesus stood still immediately. He stopped in his tracks of where he was headed. And he said, bring me that man. Bring me that. Don't bring me that guy over there, that one. Bring me that man that was saying, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard the cry of the blind man. Whether it's the children of Israel or Jonah or Peter, or in this case Bartimaeus, and the scripture is just filled with so many more. The object is that he has ears to hear, not just noise and not just words, but he wants to hear the scope, the realness, the sincerity. Nobody wants to, not even a parent wants to get something for their child that they have a kind of sort of maybe interest in. Why would you purchase something that your son or daughter says, well, I'd kind of like to have that. Maybe that'd be neat. There's no move to do that. But whenever you hear, oh, I really like, oh, I just, oh my, and whenever you hear someone begin to express desire and emotion, there's something within you, even as a parent or a friend, an aunt, an uncle, whoever, a grandparent. There's something in you that wants to reach out and be able to meet that desire because you know how much it means to that person. God's just like that. He wants you to want. He wants you to desire. He wants your desire to be fueled with both faith and emotion. God does not like dry prayers, even though they're faith prayers. God likes to see you in it. He wants to see you in it. He just don't want to see a new car. He wants to see you in the car. He just don't want to see you on a nice, big, beautiful horse. He wants to see you on the horse. See, God looks for you in the blessing. He's not just interested in the horse that gets you there, the car that gets you there, the private aircraft that gets you there. Those are all blessings that God provides and connects you with, but God wants to see you in that private aircraft saying, oh my, look what the Lord has done. And the expression, or on the horse, or in the car, or in the house, or in the condo, or in the new job, or in the apartment. Wherever you are today, God's wanting to hear you and hear a sound come up and out of you that makes the game show people look silent. That makes the biggest fan in the football stadium seem shallow. And these people are real. I myself am real. When I go to a game, I'm up there cheering for my team. It's very, very important that you understand. That's why Jesus said over in Luke 21, verse 19, and he was speaking about the very last days that we're living in, which we are. And he said to all of the disciples, possess ye your own soul. He knew that there would be a culture that would try to capture the expression and the emotions of the people. And boy, aren't they doing a great job. Even the very media today dramatizes tragedy and heartache. People were locked into the O.J. Simpson trial with emotion, caught up in it. We're caught up in the next time that there's a terrible attack and victims are laying on the street. And we talk on the phone about it. We talk at work at the water cooler about it. And there's emotion involved in that. That's because the media is capturing the soul of the people. People are burying themselves in novels, romance novels, game boards, game shows, video games. They don't press a button, you know, effortlessly. Their little thumb and their fingers are flying all over the keyboard with emotion. And again, I'm not saying these things that I'm talking about are necessarily bad. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if we can vent, if we can release, if we can be emotional in so many places of our life, the way we throw a frisbee, the lady that's doing your nails as you get your nails done, there's expression being exchanged. People in restaurants, as they talk to their waiter and their waitress, as they order their food, the glee, the excitement. Listen to me. Jesus is worthy of our expression. He wants to be so involved and included in every need you have, every desire you desire, and every dream you want to come to pass. But he wants to feel the emotion of it. And then you say, well, I'm just not that way. But you're that way in other settings. And if you're that way in other settings, then you have to find out, why aren't you that way when you're with the Lord? Is it because he's invisible? Then we have to ramp it up our faith walk and begin to realize he's here. He's watching. He's listening. That's what faith teaches us. And then you have to act like he's in the room in body form. He's in the room listening to you. That's what prayer is. That's what talking to God is. Now, as I'm talking, we're talking about expression of the soul. That's just taking it a little bit deeper and putting emotion behind it. You can say, by his stripes I'm healed, and have very little emotion. So you can stand on the word of God with very little emotion, and he will honor his word. But whenever you put your soul in with that, oh God, I need you. I need Psalm. I need Isaiah 53:5. You wrote it. God, I got to have it. I don't want to die. I want to walk. I want to see. I don't want to take needles no more. When you begin to put emotion in with what is already written, not just does God hear you, I believe he hears you even more quickly. What are you saying, Pastor Billy? You can accelerate the time of your harvest. You can accelerate the time of your healing. You can accelerate the time of the dream you've been holding on to for years and years and years. You're going to battle your personality. You're going to battle thinking, what does other people think of me? You know, you're going to battle all of these. But see, you can't expect other people to fully comprehend the strength of your desires, the deepness of your dreams, you know, the urgency of your hour, especially as you have that clock in you. We all have an internal clock that says you're getting older. The time for what you want in life is running out on the other end. It should make your cry intensify. A lot of younger people just think they have all the time in the world. And that's why they diversify their emotions over a broad spectrum of things. But surely as we age, as we get older, focus should begin to happen. The hunger for significance begins to manifest. I can't tell you how many people I speak with and they say, I've survived, I have success, I don't need money, I need significance. And they realize they've worked and worked, they've gotten money, they've gotten security. But now their heart is crying out for a place of expression of something more meaningful than just a good job, more meaningful than just a square footage in a home and a couple cars. They're after significance. That's what your heart longs for today. See, God wants to know that coming from you. He wants to hear you in an expression where he says, wow, that sounds like Bartimaeus crying to me. That sounds like a Jonah cry. That sounds like the way Peter cried when he wanted help to not drown in the ocean on that stormy night. That sounds just like the children of Israel that were crying up to me after 400 years of slavery. I hear the urgency. I hear the scope of their embitterment and their pain. You know, God is moved. That's why the Bible says we have a God who's touched by the feeling of our infirmity. I mean, he's moved by our suffering. He's definitely touched, and I mean, all of it. But he doesn't move to meet our need because he sees it or knows it. What puts God into action? What execution of our emotional expression to him? Execution. Whenever he hears you express yourself, that's when God is moved. When that faith comes up and out of you, and it's not dry faith, it's not faith that's just words only, it's faith that has emotion in it. Jesus said to the fig tree, I curse you this day, that you'll never bring forth any fruit ever. Oh my, the emotion that was in that faith command. When he said, peace be still to the storm, as I've said these examples to you earlier, he just didn't say, peace be still. It was emotion in there. He was telling that storm, back off. You can't have anybody in this boat, including me, before our time. That emotion. I know you've been hurt. I know there's many things you've been through. You know, we all get hurt. We all get lied to, betrayed, and cheated, and rejected. But that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. To save, heal, deliver, and restore. And he wants to restore you to the place that you were intended to be. And one of the ways that you can just have a great payback day or a payback week or a payback life is to begin to allow your soul to express itself and let the Holy Spirit to move through you. That's why Psalm 68 is so powerful, verse 1. Let God arise and your enemies be scattered. Let God arise. We can't make him arise, but we can let him arise. God's wanting to percolate through you. God's wanting to sing through you, talk through you, express through you. Emotions are a powerful force. Whenever you're speaking out your desires, your wants, your wishes, your desires, oh my, it adds a dimension of authenticity that can't be described in any other way. You know, because when your emotions begin to work through you, your eyes change, your voice changes, your body language gets into action. And I mean, there's all kind of signals coming from you that you really believe you've heard God. You really believe that manifestation is about to happen. You really believe that money is on its way to your mailbox. It's no longer just words of faith. It's no longer just confessions of faith. It's no longer just faith talk. Something now has showed up. Something now has showed up that is bringing a level of combustion, explosiveness to the faith that you're speaking. And that is your soul has teamed up with your spirit. And something is coming out that is just a force of righteousness. Now, when this begins to happen, there's a third part of you that begins to receive, and that is healing in your physical body. Your back, your bones, your tissue, your sinew, your blood, your muscles. Every part of you responds to what's coming out of your faith in the spirit and the soul. The spirit and the soul have direct impact on the body. When Adam died, you know, spiritually, remember what God said, in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Well, he ate the fruit. He didn't die for another 950 years. So what part of him died? He died in his spirit, which then affected his soul. And slowly over 950 years, then his body died. So people have died from the inside out. Then God can heal you from the inside out. You get that soul prospering. And that's between the best place for that to take place is between you and God. God never hurt you, lied to you, cheated you. So therefore, there should be a direct, yeah, I can talk to God. I can sing to him. I can express myself to him. Your fears, your angers, that's what he's there for. He's there for you to vent anything you want to vent. He's there for you to unload. Come all you that are heavy laden. Bring your burden. Bring your troubles. Bring everything, every unfair injustice that's happened to you. I want to hear them. He's the only one that can hear you, understand you, process it, and bring it back to you in a way that is, we're going to get through this. You're going to overcome this. This will someday be fertilizer in your soil. You'll be better, more richer, a broader scope of the understanding of life because of this. All things will work together for the good. It's not over till it gets good. Did you hear what I said to you? It is not over till it gets good. That's the promise from God. I mean, if that don't make you say hallelujah, if that don't make you say praise the Lord, this CD is meant to get down on the inside of you and break your alabaster box of ointment. Mary had a box of costly anointment. Oh, were they mad when she broke it? That ointment flowed out of there. What is that ointment? It's the expression of love, the expression of looking to the only source that you can rely on. But you got to break the box to get to it. And that box is our exterior. That box is our personality. That box is our pride. That box is, I don't think I have to do it this way. So until that box breaks and you begin to realize, out of the 8 or 9 or 10, you know, billion people on the planet, who really knows the accurate census? We don't know. But out of all of these people, that you have the power to get to God Himself, capture His attention, and get Him to move in your direction. Today, I'm wanting you to hear what I'm saying. Every blood-bought, born-again believer has a cry on the inside of them. And we read these stories, and that word, we just glaze over it. And Bartimaeus cried out. And the children of Israel cried out. And Jonah cried out. And Peter cried out. It has to be you. It has to be your voice. Your emotions. Sometimes we love to listen to a preacher or a singer or somebody, and their heart's in it. Their emotions are flying out of it, and we're so attracted. Oh, do you see him? Boy, she really gets into it. And boy, when he plays that horn, and we like to watch it. But God says, I don't want you being a spectator. I want you being an imitator. I want to hear that come up and out of you. You know, Bartimaeus was blind, and Jesus looked right at him and said, what can I do for you? I believe he could perceive that Bartimaeus was a blind man, but so why would he say, what can I do for you? He wanted to hear it come through him. He wants to hear it come through you. There's no greater way to prove your sincerity than to send up a signal to God that's full of faith, has emotion in it, and does it in a continual way where God says, I'm touched. I'm so touched. I'm going to move. It says in Luke 18, though he tarry long, but when he comes, he will come speedily, because perseverance always pays off. You can't get off of this CD and just become an emotional, you know, a freedom. You can't, but you can take what's being said, take it to prayer, ask God to show you the block. And when the Spirit moves on you, wherever, in church, in a car, quit holding it back, quit apologizing. So many people apologize for tears, for outbursts, whenever they don't realize that's God moving to get you out of an emotional prison, a house of pain, to get you healed, to become not just healed, but to become whole. God's perfect will isn't healing. His perfect will is wholeness. He said that I wish above all things that you would be in health, not healing, in health, mentally whole, physically whole, spiritually whole. Today, let the Holy Spirit overshadow you. Today, let desire percolate. Today, make a covenant with God that as He moves on you and empowers you to express yourself through your soul, whatever form that may be, that you're no longer going to hold back. You're no longer going to run into the shelter. Well, that's not my personality. Yes, we have different personalities. But as we're all conformed to Him, the things in common that we should have, irrespective of introvert, extrovert, the things that we should have in common is that we delight ourselves in the Lord. That we stir ourselves spiritually. We stir up the gift. That we're overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And that nothing, no one, and no event replaces the joy, the excitement, the awe of who God is and what He's done in your life. And guess what? What He has yet to do. Your expression could be a barometer for what's released in the future. Oh my, we can't send God a thank you card. or a thank you note. We can't invite him over for dinner in return for something he's done, but what we can do is up and out of our mouth, alone, with someone, in the midst of an assembly of people, we can express, my God is good. He's really, really good. He is great. Greatly to be praised. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth. Is my God on the mountains of Zion, in the third heaven, deep in my heart and in the heart of millions of people, I praise him. I worship him. I call him Lord. I call him healer, deliverer, my provider, my strength, my restoration. He is my all in all. Yeshua HaMashiach. I love him. I praise him. I'll tell the world that Jesus is alive. Today, my friend, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to hover over you and heal places of pain, places where you maybe risked before and now you're afraid to risk again. Trust factor's been broken. God never hurt you. People did. Don't make God pay for what somebody with skin on has done to you. Get back to that expression to him. Let the expression to other people take care of itself. Get healed between you and the Lord. Get that cleansing stream moving through you. And I promise you, not just healing, but wholeness will begin to take place. And when it does, you're going to like yourself a whole lot more. And when it does, you're going to be ready for love, for ministry, for business on a higher level than you've ever been. Oh, I tell you, this is an amazing, amazing thought of how these people all cried out. And in some form, the answer that came, the breakthrough they received, and how the destiny of their life had changed. You don't have to be on a one-way street. You don't have to be on a dead-end street. You don't have to be on a road that's constantly under construction. And you certainly don't have to be on a road that always has detour signs everywhere. There is a highway. There is a special road in the wilderness. That's what it says in Isaiah 43, 19 and 20. Water in the desert and a road in the wilderness. I mean, we can be on the Autobahn, the road in Germany, where there is no speed limit. Do you understand? You can be on a highway of no limits. It's not too late. You're not too old. The gender doesn't matter. Your IQ doesn't matter. Neither does the amount of money in your bank account. But I'll tell you what matters. What matters is you beginning to cry out to the only one that has the mighty power to hear your cry, set things in motion, bring about the change you've longed for such a long time. This is Pastor Billy Burke, and I pray today that you've learned, that you've received, and that you're expecting manifestation in a large way. Please visit our website at billyburke.org for any and all and information, books, CDs, DVDs. And please look at the calendar and get into one of our meetings. I know you'll be blessed. Until then, may the Master touch you, heal you from the inside to the outside, order your steps, and let the open heaven and the favor fall in Jesus' name.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED, or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.